Hi, and welcome to Prosody, WESA's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest today is the poet Dorina Pina. Dorina Pina earned her BA in English writing in 2008 from the University of Pittsburgh and her MFA in creative writing in 2011 from Carlo University. Her first chapbook, Leaving the Tree, was published by Monkey Man Press. Her poetry has appeared in Philadelphia Stories, Voices from the Attic anthologies, the Pittsburgh City Paper, Girls with Glasses, Flair, the Flagler Review, and Pittsburgh Poetry Review. Her new book, Black History Month, was published by Finishing Line Press in 2017. Hi, Dorina. How are you?
Hi, Jan. I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we're really excited to have you. We've been trying to have you for a while, but you moved to Philadelphia and we miss you, and we're glad you could be here.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so glad to be back in Pittsburgh, the Steel City, all my favorite sports team. Go Steelers.
All right. Okay, so you're going to start with some poems from Black History Month?
I have a few poems from Black History Month and then also from my longer manuscript, full-length manuscript, Masking White, which I've been sending out to contests as well.
Oh, great.
So,
okay, yeah. So go ahead.
So I'll just get started. My first poem I'm going to be reading is the title poem of the chapbook, Black History Month. Black History Month. Shortest month of the year, 28 days later, and I am still thinking, do I wear this skin I am in with pride? The lightest brown reaches to the ends of my fingers, and I feel empty. Some days I feel like I need a bleaching to push me closer to the whiteness we're supposed to achieve. Other days I long for the sun and a rich brownness to tan me, to make me feel black. The thick curls in my hair in its natural state make me feel black. My nose with its unflared nostrils and quietness in its bumps and turns leaves me feeling white. I wish we could all just turn our skin inside out and show how we are the same, same red gut insides. When we live in this skin, it defines us, presses our brown, white feet into the ground, a steady chant forward. When we die, we rot, we loosen, lose the skin, become bleached white bones, the truth of being human, us, the sameness we share at the end, same bruising of hips, agony of flesh, worms feeding, breeding. Why can't we see it now? The light shining through our brown, blonde heads, whether we be green-eyed people or not, why can't we see beyond color? Flesh. Feeling brown. I am feeling brown today, my thick hair colored brown, nestled into a thick puff on my shoulders. I feel brown like the wrinkled edges of a tree trunk. I feel deep brown, like an endless stretch of sand against the red-orange horizon. The blue waves crash onto my brown and make it hard to see the separation of colors. My brown today is my warrior paint. It marks me as a person of color. I am of color, in color, above color, beyond color. Four to close shift. I'm taking my 87th order of the day when I hear your usual F this crap. As 14 more people walk in the door, I watch you slice zucchini with thin, deliberate cuts. I stare, slowly getting in slits of your tattoos, antlers and stars running like deep veins down your muscular arm. I remember your mouth, us in the back hallway, tongue and teeth and lips as you pushed me hard against the brick wall. My fingernails left small marks on your neck. I can still see just above your work shirt. And now I'm going to read a few poems from the Masking White full-length manuscript. Those late afternoons. I'm sitting here ankle deep in the brown blues of this creek, hoping the slim oak board bridge we made doesn't break. Yoda is completely absorbed by the colors in the water near the gray rocks a few yards ahead of me. His chocolate fur always seems clean, even after his usual afternoon dirt bath. My mom told us to stay up on the yard, away from the evergreens, where our small bodies always get lost in this forest between our houses. The green of the trees is touching the grays in the sky, and I wonder if you snuck out the back window, climbing over trash cans and those scratchy bushes. The afternoon settles into night, and I finally see your flashlight through thick branches and can almost spot your orange Converses. You rush and dip your feet in, bringing bug spray and pizza pockets, and we pop out the tape deck with my homemade radio recordings. Next year, we'll be able to drive, and our late nights will extend to Taco Bell runs and Evanescence on a car stereo instead of these shared headphones. Yoda's shaggy mane is tough and gnarled with mud, and I soak up the earth and sounds and you, my best friend Amber, not hearing the rumble of my mother's voice beneath the sudden hard dropping of rain.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest today is the poet Dorina Pina, reading her poetry. Dorina, I want to ask about your chapbook, Black History Month. I really love the direct voice in those poems, and I know that voice is hard fought, and I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the process of putting that book together. You know, the choice to call it Black History Month, et cetera.
I have always tried to work in the poem a day projects that come around. And I decided a month that was very precious to me and special to me was February because of Black History Month. And it's shorter, so less poems. So I decided to try to do the poem every single day, which I thought wouldn't be that difficult, but it was a hard project to really just do a poem every day and really just not be upset with what came out, just let whatever needed to come out, come out. And then after that, I sat down with those poems and I was like, I think this is a chapbook. And then I worked together with my advisor and we got it to where it is now, and I just always felt that it was Black History Month. Like, I just felt like that month is so contested in the world today, and there's just so much of it that is so much a part of me. And that's just, the poems were just easy. Editing them could get hard, but just, I talk about race in my poetry. Like, no matter what the poem's about, I found that in my manuscript, the full-length one, that I always am talking about race. So it just kind of fell together, and it took a while and a couple more revisions before it finally got to finishing line. But yeah, I'm really happy with where it got to today.
Yeah, well, that's amazing though, that story. I mean, I think I'd like to tell people that's unusual, that to write a poem a day and come up with a chapbook, and the part that you're not saying is all the years of study before that, mm-hmm. that prepared you to do that, and the dedication of writing every day like that. But that's still an amazing accomplishment, I think. So congratulations on your chapbook.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great. But I think the title of your full-length manuscript, Masking White, is a great title. So you're saying that a lot of, you say you always write about race, no matter what you're writing about.
Yeah, when I was in my final manuscript semester, we just found that even a poem where I write a lot of poems about like Barbie dolls or like experiences with abuse, childhood abuse, and also my experiences as a minority and just having different issues and disabilities and different things like that. And every time we would just look, there would be a word or like a sentence that it was like, it might be colors, but it was always really like race, even if it was hidden underneath it. And I think that's why I got to the masking white, because as a light-skinned Black woman, I've always had trouble finding where I fit in. And then I think just eventually I realized I don't, and I just had to make my own space and be good with that and be able to also be with Black people and white people and different races and just understand how I could fit into that, but even if I didn't really fit. And I think masking white is just, there's this persona that society makes us take on as Black people. And being light-skinned, there's a lot of times where it's easier to take that persona. Like, I've seen a lot of differences whether I'll get pulled over if I have my hair straightened. I usually don't. If my hair is natural and curly, I get pulled over more often. Mm-hmm. So it was just kind of that process. And I think a lot of Masking White, there's a lot of poems from, like, all different aspects, like some from my BA in English writing and some things made it from my master's. And then as I've been sending it out more and more, I've added more poems that I've gotten since I've been married and just different things I've experienced. And yeah, I think Toy Derricott says it really well that she's always writing about race. In her nonfiction piece, The Black Notebooks, she talks about that all the time. And she's also light-skinned, and I've talked to her about this before, and it's just like, you can't not. Like, some people will say something like, Blue Lives Matter. And it's like, I think the police are important, and they do matter, and their lives are important. But at the end of the day, they take off their uniform, and I can't take off my Blackness. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where a lot of the work comes from.
Okay. Okay, could you read some more?
Yeah, sure. And these are a few more poems from Masking White, my full-length collection. This poem comes from when my husband and I stayed in Los Alamos, New Mexico for a summer, and there's a few Spanish phrases in here, but they're pretty easy to get from context clues. Los Alamos, New Mexico, el Ciudad de Nueva México, a town rich in Los Mexicanos y las Navajos, paints over the browns and reds with a masking white. The toys here sparkle with flashing white hues, leaning in their boxes at Kroger's and on shelves at Walmart. Bright plastic toys shine in their almost clear skins. Polly Pocket, Bratz dolls, the ever-present Barbie, all glare with blonde bangs brushing fake white foreheads. ¿Dónde están las mujeres? ¿Por qué todos están blancos? Miro a las muñecas y no lo comprendo. I walk this desert town, feel the deepening of browns in my skin from the dark orange sun. But still, the dolls glisten in their pure white skin, and I am uncertain. No lo comprendo, no lo comprendo. ¿Por qué las muñecas con los cuerpos papeles blanco? No es una realidad. ¿De dónde son los colores? Las bonitas chicas de la tierra rojo. ¿Por qué? The white of it. Nana sits on her bed and tells me about how she passed on trains from Boston to New York. My father with his brothers and sisters in the colored car. Nana sat in the front section of the train with her hazel eyes and sun-kissed blonde brown hair. We sit in her bedroom, her sheer purple hair, a fine electric color, matching the tips of our newly painted nails. She talks about the hard heat of summer, red eating her cheeks as she sat in the cool, roomy air of her train compartment. My father warm with his darker skins, his red hands sweating with piles of people in the hard rumbling end of the train. Now we sit thinking how we both pass so easily with the creamy yellow tones of our skin, purple nails, good, almost white girl hair, decades between us, but still we put on our skin each day and try not to question the white of it all. This is a Valentine's Day poem, since I wrote the chapbook for the month of February. It's a very different take, but this is one of the poems from my chapbook, Black History Month. Day of Love. O day of love, do you know what we have striven for? What stripes have made colorless markings on dark skins? Men seen dangling like vines on trees in Georgia. Could you see the love on faces of Quakers giving homes to strangers' dark faces moving northern circa 1845? Day of love, you seem to only address romanticism, but isn't there some kind of romance in our president having skin and eyes like mine? Change, he said, and change he brings in waves of colored people coloring the lands to stand up and vote again for Obama. Do you even know what we have stood up for? The invisible scars on face and chest from countless words beating me, knocking me down, nigger, coon, red-boned, high yella, kitchen nigga. Words painted across my skin like endless tattoos I can never forget. I keep marching, trying to find love for my own brown skin. My Mattel Pink Dream House. If I made Barbie, I would name her Kenya, give her wide hips and maybe some thick girl thighs. I would color her like the deepness of dark, sweet sand, her skin swishing somewhere between yellow and brown. Kenya would definitely rock her hair natural. Thick curls never relax, dark as the brown in my eyes. She would wear a t-shirt and jeans, and her feet would hit the ground in a stable arch. She would wear non-name brand sneakers and read poetry until 5 a.m. Her nose would bump ethnically and fan out. Her arms would flex, her legs would bend, her love handles would rest softly with her small arched back. My Barbie would wear bright green nail polish that could chip off, and she would only smile sometimes. Her dream house would still be pink, but she could date Teresa if she wanted to. They could adopt Barbie's sister, Kelly, who Mattel never bothered to give a mom.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest today is the poet Dorina Pina, reading from her poetry. I love that poem, the Barbie poem.
Thank you.
I was thinking, listening to all your work, about the bravery of your work, and I just, there's the language of the work, but, I always feel a lot moving around beneath the lines of your poems, and so I'm wondering how you feel about it, like if you've run into any internal resistance writing the poems because they feel like really brave poems, or other kinds of resistance in writing them.
I think it's like when I was in my master's program, we talked about not giving yourself permission to do things or do certain things, being a woman, being a black woman, being a light-skinned black woman, and other parts of my personality that aren't like fitting in, like I said before. There was this resistance for a really long time. And I think in undergrad, I definitely didn't let go as much. There would be poems here and there that were really more me. And I think I've always had the voice. Like I always knew where I was coming from. Like there was strength within. But it's definitely hard to brace certain subjects, and not even just the race, but also some of the familial problems and different things like that. But yeah, certain situations, like when I've been pulled over, I've had a poem about that, or like being in a class with all white people and having an incident, and it's just hard. And I write a lot about real people, and even though with poetry it's not nonfiction and it gives you leeway, it's still hard to be accessing that kind of truth.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have a lot of hard times writing this kind of style, but it's me, and it's more freeing now. I'd say once I was halfway through my master's program that I really got into the swing of it, and it just was okay to let myself have that permission and be able to do it and know that it's okay. Like, I think you always have this feeling, I think, in society that someone needs to tell you that it's okay to do these things, to say these things. And I was lucky to be surrounded with some brilliant women and men in my MFA at Carlo University, and just great mentors and teachers and speakers and lecturers. And they really, like, even when they weren't individually talking to me, like, I'd be in a lecture and a woman who has all these different books out would come in, and it would just let me know, like, oh, she said that. Maybe I can say that. And I think from reading, like, Crystal Williams and mm-hmm. Toy Derricotte and just so many different writers that I got invested in, I really finally gave myself permission. And mm-hmm. and Black History Month was really at a point where I'd finished my master's, and I just really was at a place that I was able to let myself just be able to do it, mm-hmm. you know.
That's great. I think, you know, other people hearing you now on the radio will be getting that same kind of courage. So you're, you know, passing that on to who's ever listening. Is there anything you want to say to maybe a new writer out there who's, you know, at that place where they're afraid to say something?
I think you just have to give yourself permission. And I think it's important to just read as much as you can. Just constantly be reading, because there's so many great poets and writers, even like someone like Hemingway, who would say that when they get stuck, they go back and read. And I think that's important, to be able to open yourself up, because when I see like some of the really great work that Patricia Jebba Wesley has done, or Metta Sama, or even just talking to them after seeing a reading, it just really opened me up. And I think there's nothing you can't say when it comes to poetry. There's nothing. So anyone who's listening out there, if there's something you think, oh, I can't put this down, there's no one who wants to hear this. There's someone out there that needs to hear this. And you need to just let go. And I'd suggest taking a poetry workshop, no matter what state of life you're in, whether you're 15 or 92. And Mad Woman in the Attic is a fantastic program. And if I was in Pittsburgh, I'd be taking those classes now. So that's a good opportunity. Or just go look in your community. There's a lot of community groups out there. And just get writing, and or bring it to someone that you know that's into poetry.
Okay. Well, thanks. And, you know, I'm in charge of the Mad Women in the Attic, and I didn't ask you to say that, but thank you very much. So we can use some more poems.
All right. These are a couple more from my longer manuscript, Masking White. This first poem that I'm going to read is from an actual event when I got hit by a car in Pittsburgh in 2007. Hit. Me in the ambulance, my red peacoat, underwear, jeans cut to shreds, my head hammering into concussion. Mike coming down to me lying on the ground, thrown against the double yellow lines, my black and white dotted rain boot, lonely on the other side of the road. My feet descending to pavement, the large front bumper colliding with my hip. The white SUV as it starts its left turn, the driver's sunglassed eyes. Now, fear as it sticks to me on the hairs of my arms like honey. Not safe crossing until I jump back onto the strong concrete sidewalk off of these raging tar rivers. Natural. Usually I avoid soaking in the blue of it. As soon as crowds of graying clouds cover the very air, I rush to bus shelters or beneath my thick 2-foot-wide umbrella. Today, I let the rain push my hair into nature, all natural, curls springing from my true roots. Today is different. Face positioned skyward, glasses stained with water. First Carolina snow. She said she hates snow. It's one of the main reasons we moved to North Carolina. that at 3 a.m. on a Tuesday it snows. For the first time in 50 years in Fayetteville, there's more than 3 inches of white iced glory. Devin is 4 and I am 9. We are snuggled on the bottom bunk beneath 3 pounds of My Little Pony blankets. My mom comes in, slowly shaking our small shoulders and rushing us to the front yard. Piles and piles of white line the steep driveway, white covering the curves and ridges of brown-green grass and the blue garden gnomes. A rare smile appears on her cracking lips, softening her face against so much whiteness. We all run with gloves, earmuffs, and fleece, the down of our puffy coats flying to the ground. We dive deep into the white, face first, until we are completely covered in the freezing wet. My mom throws snowballs bigger than our heads and doesn't once mention my father's name. Blackness. Blackness is a verb, is a noun, is something felt and not described. It is a she, and she is slowly taking over, moving in waves over my body. It is a thickness, the brown locks of my hair. Blackness can be dreaded. She can be tangled, tied, braided. She can eat you, swallow you into her deep red insides, make you new and remind you of red on black slash marks on slaves, legs cut off to prevent running. She is the sight of bodies on trees, these steady green-brown trees. Blackness, she hums, a whisper slow, arising. She's a thunderstorm rushing in. She is Hurricane Katrina. She is the black ones that did not matter. Blackness is a brown, beige, yellow, tan, mixed, mulatto, black people. She is the mixing, the indescribable colors. We are the new creation. All this time I've been trying to say, small girl, hands closed, tiny fists, fried bologna sandwiches, mouth tight, the darkness of my your hair, keeping shoulders still, city to city, dank apartments, moldy pipes, radiator tings followed us, never steady. You gave up everything for my sister and me.
The poetry of Darina Pina. Thank you so much. That was wonderful.
Thank you for having me. It was really a great opportunity. I had a blast.
You've been listening to Prosody, WESA's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. Writers appearing on Prosody also have their work showcased in Chapter and Verse, a biweekly feature in Pittsburgh City Paper, the Arts Entertainment News Weekly, published every Wednesday. Prosody is produced by Jan Beatty. Our sound engineers are Michelle Stoner and Lisa Alexander. Please tune in every Saturday morning at 6:30 for Prosody 90.5 WESA.